San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
All right, good evening, everybody. My name is Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer, coming to you from KFMB Studios with 50,000 watts of power. We're heard not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, L.A. County, up the coast of Seattle on a good night, down to the Cabo, out to the desert. If you download the app for 760 KFMB on your iTunes store, you can find us there. Also, if you download It's Your Money and Your Life on your iTunes store, you can get all the podcasts there, as well as on iymoney.com. And now time to introduce the man of the hour. He's a CPA extraordinaire. He's an accomplished marathon runner. He's a family office expert advising several high net worth families. He's an accomplished author and a philanthropist. And his name is Richard Muzio, and I'm out of breath. Good evening, Richard. How are you?
I am marvelous, Joe. Yeah, you're out of breath now. You're going to be really out of breath on Thursday when you're out at the Ocean Side Turkey Trot.
Well, I've been fighting. I'm at the tail end of this 2-week cold. I think a lot of people have gone through. People in the office or anywhere that's been fighting with this thing.
Yeah.
And I finally discovered online this apple cider vinegar, and I think I'm taking a tablespoon of that with my tea and honey, and I think that makes a big difference. So I started it 2 days ago, and I'm just about over this thing.
Good.
But man, oh man, it hangs on, and I know a lot of people are dealing with it. So try that, folks, apple cider vinegar, and see what happens. But anyway, how about the Oceanside Turkey Trot? What's going on up there?
Thursday morning, we're going to have about 10,000 runners, 15 or 16,000 people downtown Oceanside. We, of course, just did a show about it a couple weeks ago. We started at the Civic Center, finished down at the amphitheater at the pier. You're going to be out there. I'm going to be running the 5-miler for Sirius. And then at 8:30, I'll be running the 5K in a 9-pound turkey costume.
But the first race is at
7 a.m. for these more serious runners, the 5-miler.
Right. 5-miler, and then there's a
5K at 8:20,
which is a 3-miler.
3.1, and then a bunch of 1-milers and quarter-milers. The 1-milers for the kids, like from 5 to 12 years old, and the quarter-milers for the little ones, 4 years old.
And a lot of Marines come out from Pendleton.
A lot of Marines come out, and it's going to be a blast. The long-range forecast for Thursday is really, really good.
How many volunteers does it take to pull that thing off?
We run with about 450 volunteers.
And, of course, a lot of police down there helping direct traffic and everything else, right?
Yeah, we got great traffic control. There's tons of parking, too.
That's good.
And, again, osideturkeytrot.com.
There you go, folks. So sign up. How much does it cost to enter this year?
I think it's $40, or maybe it's up to $45.
You get a T-shirt, of course, right?
You get a T-shirt, and you can wear a costume and try to win the costume contest.
And probably a goodie bag with a bunch of stuff,
A ton of stuff in the goodie bag.
That's good.
Yeah.
Good stuff. All right, what else can we talk about?
Go ahead. You talk about, I got one thing I want to talk about the show, but go first.
I'm just saying we had a great week last week with about Dr. Jonas Salk and Gary Robbins.
That was fun.
And I want to thank him. He said he's going to alert all his readers about that show and post the podcast, which I thought was nice of him to do. So that's a feather in our cap there.
So here's a funny story about our radio show. So a week ago Friday, we had the reunion of my first ever CPA firm from 1980.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was 7 of us. I was 21 years old.
You had a reunion.
But listen to this. There were 7 of us, and I had to track a bunch of people down to get them out here, including from Connecticut. So the 7 people were myself. The firm was called Krause & Company, so the main partner, Ted Krause, Richard Turnblatt, who was a partner, Judy Hurley, my longtime assistant, who just retired after working together for about 35 years, Betsy Marler, Karen Northway, and... who am I missing? Oh, Marilee Blaine was the 7th. Then we had 4 spouses. My wife, Mary, Jody Davis, who's married to the other Richard, Jan Krause, and Virgil Hurley. But anyway, so I didn't know what happened to Richard Turnblad, but I hadn't seen him and his wife, Jody, and I hadn't seen Ted and Jan Krause, and I hadn't seen Betsy Marler in 32 years, so I had to track these people down. So I tracked Richard Turnblad down, and he's up in Murrieta, which is north of Temecula. Mm-hmm. And I called him up about a week and a half before the reunion a week ago Friday. And I said, you probably don't remember me, because we were only together for maybe 6 months. I said, but I'm Richard Muzio, and we used to work together at Krause & Company around 1981. He goes, oh, I know who you are. I listen to your radio show every Saturday night.
Oh, my gosh. And he's in Murrieta, right?
Murrieta.
Well, I know we get there, so you heard us in San Fran, so you know the signal's powerful.
Yeah, it travels on a Saturday night.
For folks who don't know, on weekends and after sundown, this station's signal goes up to 50,000 watts, which is the most the FCC will allow. And we get all the way up the coast up to Seattle. So think about Oregon, Washington, all of that. It's pretty cool.
And Murrieta.
Yes, all along the coastline where all your clients live, probably.
Yeah.
So. But
anyway, that's my story about how far east we travel.
Yeah, that's great. So now you said your daughter is going to go see Hunchback of Notre Dame, or they call Hunchback.
Yeah, what are they UCSD. Calling? My daughter and her boyfriend Scott are going to see the Hunchback. I forget, is it called the Hunchback of Notre Dame? La Jolla Playhouse on the campus of UCSD. It might just be called the Hunchback.
I think so. But anyway,
I think they left the university out.
Make sure we get a review so we can determine.
I will.
Speaking of review, I did see this film called Birdman with Michael Keaton. Very interesting film. Boy, it's not have you seen it yet or heard?
No, I heard about it though.
Interesting. If you're into theater, folks, you may appreciate it. Although it's not shot in your typical Hollywood fashion. The camera moves around a lot, and it's just an interesting. A lot of special effects, or some special effects, especially the flying scenes. But anyway. I'd recommend if you're into a somewhat artsy film, you'll either like it or not. But anyway, so much for that.
Okay.
All right, we've got two studio guests tonight. We're very familiar with. He's
so we'll start there.
Yeah, we'll start there. And this gentleman, Regions Bank. They sponsor the show, so we love them. But he's vice president and senior relation manager over at Regions Bank. He's based downtown on Broadway. And he was one of the 40 over 40 people to watch.
40 under 40.
40 under 40, whatever. Now, is he over 40 yet? Anyway, his name is Sean Puckett.
No, he's 40 next month. Happy birthday, Sean.
Let's find out. Sean Puckett, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks for having me back.
Our pleasure. Our pleasure. So your birthday's coming up, is that right?
Yes, on December 3rd, I'm turning 40.
Oh, my gosh.
It's all downhill from there, Sean.
I think the best is yet to come.
Absolutely.
As evidenced by the way you guys live your lives.
Richard especially, with all the running and everything he does and writing books and whatnot. So, but anyway, Sean, what's going on in the world of local and community banking these days? What good news can you give us?
Well, I'm happy to say it's an exciting time. I think a lot of the companies that I work with, I work with small and medium-sized San Diego-based companies. They're in a high-growth mode. Maybe they're trying to go from 5 to 10 million in revenue or 20 to 30 million in revenue. But those companies have repaired their balance sheets. They've had some profitable years, and they're feeling confident, and they're out taking advantage of opportunity. And I'm having a lot of fun helping them maximize those opportunities with the financing.
Now, we had two prior guests of yours that you brought along. One was Joe DeVona, and how's he doing with his company?
Joe's doing great. He's continuing to grow and get more contracts, and scaling and going through the different educational things that happen as you go through the different revenue sizes of
growing
a company. Because it changed. Yeah,
growing pains. And then Eric Rockwell with Centrex, they're doing great things with the cloud as well.
They acquired another company. I sit on their board of advisors, and these guys are great because they're taking the advice of everybody, and it's working. I mean, their balance sheet's looking strong, and they are poised to probably get another 50% growth in revenue next year, which is phenomenal.
Huh, that's great. So, and you and Richard collaborate on some projects, right? Is that correct?
Yeah, we worked. I sent Sean a really nice referral about a year ago. We can't mention the name.
But that's working out well, too, I take it, right?
It's working out so well that this month, that's one of my primary focuses. That referral has grown into much more. And will maybe be my largest client starting off 2015.
Yeah. Well, that's how it works. Referrals lead to referrals lead to referrals. So excellence breeds excellence. Simple as that, right?
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
So,
but it's good to see that business owners are a little bit more optimistic than they were even a year ago. Because you're right. They start doing more things. They hire more people. They acquire, like Eric Rockwell. Acquire a company. And that's what really gets the economy moving when business owners and businesses start doing things instead of just sitting tight.
Mm-hmm. I actually have three companies right now that are buying buildings. One's closing this month and two next month. That's always a big jump when you buy your first building as a business.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's another indicator that companies are confident.
Yeah, that's great. So speaking of the economy, the market's at record high levels. NASDAQ's at record high levels. Do you follow any of this much, or do you just more try to deal with your clients per se? Or
no, I do. I follow economics and I follow interest rate movement. The stock market isn't my world at all, but anything that's an economic driver, I'm paying attention to. So Richard and I were just talking a little bit earlier about, how inflation isn't happening, and it's not even hitting the targets that are expected. So that keeps the interest rates low, and I'll go on record saying that 2015. Maybe a little bit of an uptick in interest rates, but it's going to be kind of a stick your toe in the water and see what happens thing. So, I think we're going to enjoy a low interest rate environment for quite a long time to come here.
I don't know if that's such a good thing or not, though, long term. I mean, because people can't invest in, obviously their fixed income folks would like it to be a little bit higher, I would think, but you run that. That's that tightrope there you have to walk, right?
I don't disagree with you, but like I said, my primary client base are people that are trying to grow companies.
Mm-hmm.
And so a low interest rate environment makes it attractive for them to grow.
And dropping energy prices is, I guess it's a good thing. I mean, look at gasoline now. It's
I paid $3.19 the other day for the good stuff.
Really, you're upgrading now?
Yeah, exactly.
You don't have to get the regular anymore, huh? How about that?
My car goes with 91.
Yeah, but
I'm like, wow, it's the lowest I've seen it. I couldn't remember how long. That's how long it's been.
I wonder, I don't know enough about the futures market and, derivatives and all these things. It's beyond my
pace. Low interest rates are good for business, Joe.
You think so?
Oh, okay. Absolutely. Yeah, right. Absolutely.
Well, let's just hope the consumers get on their feet, too, and the middle class gets a little help along the way, and we'll see what happens. But it's good to know that the business environment is growing, because obviously if they can grow, then they can kind of the tide will rise. So.
Absolutely.
So.
Yeah. And then they can hire more people, and if more people have jobs, that's a good thing.
Yeah. Anyway, we've got a minute to our next break there, Richard. So let's see. Any other things? How about the elections? Are you happy with the results there?
Or does that even matter?
Or does it even matter?
We're not going there, Chuck.
Okay.
But I will tell you, as you're forecasting the future, I read today that millennials are saving at a negative 2%. That's what their savings rate
negative
is.
Negative 2 saving? Okay.
Yeah, so they're spending more than they're making. So.
Huh. Well,
I don't know what we're going to do about that. But.
Well, maybe we'll talk a little bit more. We've got to take a little break. I'll come right back with the award-winning It's Your Money and Your Life with our guests right after this. Hang on.
Learn more.
AM 760 KFMB.
All right, we are back with It's Your Money and Your Life, and our guest right now is Sean Puckett, Vice President of Regions Bank. And I guess you wanted to make a little statement about the community banking.
Can I ask a question first, though? Did we just play classical gas because we were talking about gas prices? I'm just curious.
Maybe that, hey.
Is that why?
I think Eric got inspired there.
Okay.
That was a great show with Dickie Smothers.
It was, wasn't it?
I like to talk about it all the time.
Yeah. It was funny.
Like the Jewish lady was assaulted in Miami Beach 18 years ago. She likes to talk about it. But anyway, you heard that joke, right?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Don't tell it on air.
Okay, no. Well, that's not a bad joke.
It's not a bad joke.
Anyway, so Sean, the roll-ups, you wanted to make a comment or a statement about that?
Oh, yeah. I just, if you've been reading the news, a couple of, local banks that have kind of merged, small community-sized banks that had been bought and merged and so on and so forth have been then purchased by larger banks. And so it's just, again, we've talked about this on previous shows. It's that trend. There's less small community banking options. And that small community banking options are powerful for business owners. That's where the deals that don't fit perfectly in the box live. That's where the creative entrepreneurial banking lives. And as those options continue to get fewer and fewer, it doesn't help the small business community.
You know, the governor, former governor of Massachusetts and former presidential candidate Michael Dukakis, he comes out here once a year. He'll be at La Jolla Country Day, and he prays.
He teaches at UCLA, right?
I think he teaches one part of the year there. But George Mitrovich, former guest of this show who runs the City Club, which he'll probably be holding another lecture or talk by Governor Dukakis. But I'd like you to come, Sean, because we'll ask him about community banking. He can go on for 20 minutes and pray with his praise of community banking. So
I'd love to be there. Thank you.
He's a very smart guy. Probably take place around January. I'll get the details for you. So anyway, you brought another guest along with you this time. And he is executive director of an organization called Boys to Men. His name is Craig McLean. Craig, how are you?
I'm doing great. Good to be here.
Excellent. Sean, how did you meet Craig, and how did this whole collaboration begin?
Well, I originally met Craig's co-founder and partner in Boys to Men, Joe Sigurdsson. He and I are in an organization together, and he had told me about the 100 Wave Challenge, and that because I was a surfer, I had to come check it out. And I was a little stubborn. It took me a couple years to get there, but I'll let Craig tell you the rest of it.
Okay.
A little stubborn, yeah. it took him 3 years to get there, and in our third year, Sean signed up, and with a week to go, he hadn't raised any money yet. And the whole purpose of the 100 Wave Challenge is for each surfer to raise $1,000. So we sent out a slightly shaming email saying, hey, you know, let's get going. Uh-huh. And Sean's sent it back going, oh, man, that's me. and in the next week, he raised $5,000.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So he became Mr. Puckett to me then. And then over the past 2 years, Sean's brought in over $25,000.
So, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, he's a real superstar.
Well, he must believe in what you're doing. By the way, Sean, Gary Puckett in the Union Gap, you're no relation to that. He used to live in North County, that guy. You know who he was? He was a pop singer.
We talked about this before. Kirby Puckett is my uncle. It's not the Gary Puckett.
Minnesota Twins.
No relation to Gary, right?
No, so, okay. No, neither of them.
Actually. Okay.
Yeah. Thanks for asking that.
Yeah, but okay. When I hear Boys to Men, I think about Michael McCary.
And who's that?
Boys to Men is like they've been on the Billboard chart longer than any, you know.
Oh, the song. Group. Oh, the group.
Yeah.
The
group. Okay. Yeah, they're fading away though.
They're fading away, but I mean,
we're
back
replacing
in the 90s.
Them.
Yeah. I remember the name. I didn't know who he was in the group.
Michael McCary was like the lead. Gotcha. Singer way back when.
Gotcha.
I think he's out of the group.
Anyway.
Let's get back on track.
Craig runs a group called Boys to Men. So give us, you know, your whole, the history of the organization and how you got involved.
Well, I got involved by starting it. A friend of Sean's, Joe, and I decided to help a few kids in the neighborhood that we saw were struggling. And that was 18 years ago.
Is this in La Mesa or where were
they? Yeah, in La Mesa, yeah. Mm-hmm. And we noticed one thing that kind of tied them all together is that they didn't have dads. And, you know, I'm sure everybody in this room grew up with a dad. Everybody had a dad when I was growing up. But today, you know, over 33% of teenage boys are growing up without a father in their home.
Hmm.
So
that's a national statistic? Or?
Yeah, U.S. Census Bureau. And so we just did something, and it really worked. And we kept doing it. We had no real vision, but all of a sudden we saw what we were doing was working for these kids, giving them role models, giving them mentors, you know, helping them, letting them see what a good man was, and it changed their lives.
Hmm.
So we did a little bit more research and saw how many kids were growing up, and the effects of growing up without a father is makes them much more likely to go to prison, do drugs, or drop out of school.
And I don't know any boys who have those as goals.
Yeah.
But it sometimes turns out that way.
And we do have the most people incarcerated of any country, more than China, I believe. So.
Yeah. But how old were the kids that you started working with 18 years ago?
Well, they were teenagers. Okay. So it's like the kind of kids that most men don't want to deal with. Other kids' teenage boys or other people's teenage boys.
I didn't even want to deal with my own teenage boys.
but back to the prison population.
Yeah.
Over 5% of the male population in this country is either in prison or on probation.
That's sad.
Yeah, it really is.
So it is a breakdown in the family. I mean, everyone wants to, you know, thinks the schools can solve the problems that really should be solved at home. I think you can't make these teachers do everything. It's really a fundamental thing that they got to learn, get hopefully at home or somewhere. So if they get mentorship from your program, I mean, you must have some great success stories, right?
Oh, absolutely. Well, the thing about the middle schools, which is primarily where we work, is most of the teachers are female.
Hmm.
And most of the kids we work with don't have dads, and most of the kids we work with don't know how to treat women because they've never seen a man do it right. So they have more issues with the female teachers. They have more issues with authority, and the schools are not built to deal with these kids. They just punish them and build more schools and segregate them all into the same school. And it's just a road to disaster.
Yeah. So did you have an educational? I'm just wondering, you know.
Tell us about your background, what you've done professionally.
Well, I was one of those kids, but I had a dad.
Uh-huh.
So I grew up with ADD back in the 50s when...
We didn't know what it was.
Right? Nobody knew what it was. So I dropped out of school. I started using drugs. I pretty much wasted my whole teenage years and early 20s trying to figure out what was going on. And I didn't have, my dad was there, but he was a World War II vet, and we didn't talk about anything. He just told me what to do and what I was doing wrong. And so, you know, I almost died. A couple of my friends died, and I'm the perfect example of what not to do.
Hmm.
And so what we do with the boys is we go in there and, you know, if they're smoking pot, it's like, well, okay, well, let me tell you my story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they're stealing cars, let me tell you my story. If they're in a gang, there's a gang member, let me tell you my story. And you can make a decision based on that. So we don't tell them what to do. And it's really good because do you like telling you what to do? No, men don't like that. Teenage boys especially don't like that.
But if you can gain their respect, and then obviously they could learn from your story. So.
Absolutely. And we gain their respect by telling them the truth.
Yeah.
We tell them when we're hurting. We tell them when we screw up. And we tell them when we do well.
Now, how do you find these kids to get into the program? Are the teachers refer them to you?
Yeah, we go into schools. We usually start with an after school group, and then we move into the in school groups where the principal or the counselor or the teachers refer the kids that aren't doing well, and they pull them out of class during the school day, and we meet and sit in a circle and talk about men's stuff. It's life skills.
Yeah.
It's home economics for men.
Yeah.
And that's where the kids are.
Yeah.
How many schools are you in now in this county?
We're in 19 schools.
Okay.
In San Diego.
All middle schools or also high school?
All middle schools, and then we follow them to high school, too. I just came back from a high school group where I had 20 kids, and we talked about, you know, what do you do over and over again that's not working for you? And all of them had something. All of them had something.
Do you work with the Hillcrest Receiving Home at all?
No.
No? Okay. Because that's, I guess, a lot of kids have been... I guess thrown out of their homes or whatever, and
yeah. Our goal is to be in every middle school, mm-hmm. and to work with the bottom kids,
mm-hmm.
the ones that really need the help, the ones that don't have the dads, the ones that don't have the support of the families, and you know, there's 42,000 teenage boys in San Diego without a dad.
Wow, that's an eye-opener.
I know we have more homeless children in this country now than in any time in history. Are some of your kids homeless, too?
Oh, absolutely. Curious. And it's most of the homeless ones have just a mom. And the mom's struggling. And they move from apartment to apartment to boyfriend. And it's really sad. But when these kids get it, they really get it, and they know that they can be better than their circumstance.
Well, we'll have to get more to the details. How did you develop the program? Just talking with other counselors and people, or
no? We developed it by doing it wrong.
Uh-huh.
And
trial and error.
Yeah, over 18 years to where we finally got this school program now that really works, and kids get better grades. And
Well, the website's pretty robust, and there's a lot of information on there. It's boys2men.org, folks, if you want to get online there and take a look. A lot of good information there, everything from the program and the history and how it works and the testimony that it works. You must have kids come back who get involved in the program and turn mentor other kids. Has that happened? It's been around 18 years, so you're like a guy's come back, they're 28, 30, 2 years old now, right, or whatever.
Absolutely. That's the coolest thing, is to have them call on the phone from Las Vegas or Seattle and go, yeah, you remember me? And I go, sure. And they said, yeah, that Boys and Men changed my life. Now I'm a banker or a teacher or, you know, number one salesperson in the, you know, Willie just called, number one salesperson. And it's like, yeah, that makes me feel real good.
What city is he in?
He's in Las Vegas.
Well, that's great. That's great. So anyway, we have about 1 minute left to go here. We'll get into the program, the problem, how it works, and how folks can donate and help.
I want to hear about Sean surfing 100 waves, too. Yeah. So when we come back, he's going to have to tell us about that.
Yeah, so and there's some videos on here. You had some pretty good press coverage, though. Anyway, we'll come right back with more of It's Your Money and Your Life after new sports weather, and you just hang on, and we'll be right back. We're back with It's Your Money and Your Life. Now time for Richard to thank our sponsors.
Thank you to our sponsors, UBS, Michael Carrancha, and Drew Freitas. Another successful sponsorship of Art San Diego, too. That was a lot of fun earlier this month. Regions Bank, best business bank here in San Diego. Sean Puckett and Steve Sefton. Sean, thanks again for bringing Craig out tonight. Jason Kruger with Signature Analytics, a great CFO company helping small businesses who don't have a need for a full-time CFO still have access to great financial resources with Jason Kruger's company, Signature Analytics. Joel Grushkin with Cost Segregation Initiatives, helping real estate owners improve their cash flow. Sean, you should mention to your clients who are buying their first building, they need to call Joel. Get a lot faster depreciation, save some income tax dollars, improve their cash flow. Brenda Geiger with the Law Office of Brenda Geiger. Geiger Law Offices focus on both estate planning as well as asset protection planning. Our favorite CPAs on the planet, Pluto Epic CPAs. I always say they're in Vista, but they are just about to move to their new office in San Marcos. So Don Epic and Paul Pulido, CPAs, I'd help you guys move, but I have to walk my cat that weekend. Sorry. And then Carl Sheeler with Berkeley Research Group, best business valuation firm in the universe, helping business owners understand the risks that drive the values of those businesses, how to reduce those risks, and therefore increase the value of the business. And last but not least, Servant Leadership Institute, servantleadershipinstitute.com. Great two and a half day seminar coming up, their fifth annual in early March, March 9th and 10th at the Coronado Marriott, where for the first time ever appearing on stage together will be at the same time John Maxwell, Stephen M. R. Covey, and Dr. Ken Blanchard. So that's really exciting stuff. servantleadershipinstitute.com. So thank you to all of our sponsors. Couldn't do it without you all. And Joe, how can our listeners find out more about these amazing folks who sponsor our show?
All they have to do is get on their computer, get on iymoney.com. There is a menu across the top of the page. Put your cursor on sponsors. There's a drop-down menu and click on any one or all of them, and all of their information is there. Their emails and their phone numbers and background information. And they've all been working with Richard for many, many years with a lot of success.
In some cases, almost 25 years. So that's a long time.
And I guess we'll have to buy you a cat now. If you need to walk a cat, right?
Anyway, I do have a cat. It's evil.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Runs the household. It's a good excuse that when somebody wants me to help them move, I say, no, I have to take care of the cat.
Yes. Anyway, so
never help a friend move. Yes. But before we get back to more serious things, Sean Puckett, I want to know, did you really surf 100 waves?
I absolutely did. And I always surf 101 waves for good measure.
In case he missed
one. In case
one.
You miscounted?
Yes. Yeah, no, that's the program. You know, you got to go out there and test your body physically and max yourself out. It takes about 6 hours in the water to do it. And
I was going
to
ask how long.
It makes it more meaningful. You
no,
know,
you guys
the money
were right off of Belmont Park earlier this year. I remember.
Is it there every year? Or
right.
There you go.
Yeah.
Right by Draft and all the great new places there. So
Sean brought in six of his buddies this year, too.
Really? That is terrific. So how many people participate in this? I mean, it's a long day.
We had 170 surfers in the water.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Well, I looked at your list of sponsors there, Craig, and I see 760 KFMB.
Oh,
so
big time sponsor.
Very, very proud of that. You've got very impressive sponsors, Dr. Bronner's. We had him on the show, David Bronner. We had a lot of But anyway, Scott, you want to make the point that this organization gets
there
to...
There is no Scott, Joe.
I mean, Sean, excuse me. You said 100 ways. I got waterlogged. You said 100 ways, and I think my... Sean, where did I get Scott?
I have no idea.
I don't know. Scott, anyway, fucking... I got that head cold, I think, still. But anyway, Sean, sorry. You said this organization gets to the root cause of a major problem facing our society and country, right?
Right, right. So we throw a lot of money at men in prison and all the different things that happen to adult men that are, you know, causing difficulties in the society. But these guys at Boys to Men Mentoring Network, they're fixing the root of a problem, and they're doing it with a simple act of showing these boys what love is and pride, and giving them inspiration to go out and make good decisions mm-hmm. and feel good about themselves. Because at the end of these day, if these boys go home and they feel good about themselves, they're going to make good decisions. But if they're getting beat up by everybody, you know, emotionally, they're going to go down the wrong path. So I'm just so excited to be a part of it, because they're fixing the root of a problem instead of putting a Band-Aid on something later.
It's like preventive medicine, you know. A lot of people don't want to pay attention to that, but it really, if you can prevent the problem or improve somebody's life as a young adolescent, they'll probably be more successful as an adult. And Craig gave testimony to that before. Craig, you said on the homepage at boystomen.org that at the bottom right, there's a video of young African-American teen, and you said that guy really nails it, right?
Yeah, at the end of every year, I sit down with the boys with the video camera, and I ask them all the same five questions, you know, what did Boys to Men mean to you? And you can hear, that's unedited pretty much, I shortened it a little bit, but he really hits it. He says, you know, I wish my dad was around, because my mom just doesn't know, you know, what how to do guy stuff, and I wish my dad was around, and I really miss him. And it's just really he kind of hits it, why we do this.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you collaborate with any of the other nonprofits, like Big Brothers, Big Sisters, or any like that? Or
we collaborate with the schools. Into the schools, create partnerships with the schools, and we work in partnership with them. We don't go in as a separate entity. We, you know, they send us the kids who need it the most. We work with the counselors to give them the extra, you know, extra work that they need, and that's really who we collaborate with.
So,
and you guys do a really cool 3-day thing called the Boys Adventure Weekend. Can you tell us what that is?
Oh, yeah. That we just had one. It's like a sixth grade camp on steroids. but we just took you know, 50 kids up to the mountain this weekend. And it's 3 days of telling the truth and talking about, you know, what you need to move forward and kind of making a life map of where you want to go, what kind of man you want to be. And as Joe was saying, it's like these kids have a whole lifetime to travel their route. And if they get off just a little bit at the beginning, it's like a ship without a rudder. You know, who knows where it's going to end up? Well, we kind of give them a rudder on this weekend and ask them to make choices about what kind of man they want to be. And it, just like you said earlier, Richard, about no boy wants that. No boy ever dreams of going to prison, doing drugs, or joining a gang. Right. Not one.
When you guys do that 3-day get together, do you talk about things like mission and service and
Absolutely.
Being involved in the community and those?
Absolutely. We ask them to pick what they want to be involved in, and then we show them what it's like. And we go do you know, acts of service in the community mm-hmm. that's part of the program. So we show them instead of telling them.
Right. Right. Yeah. I think that's the difference. Is you got to show kids things and then let them make their choices once they've seen things.
So tell us about the programs. You have the in-school groups, you have the after-school, and you have the evening groups. So are they all the same or a little different? Or
they're all the same. Basically, it's you know, four kids to one man. So it's a group mentoring, but it's a community. It's mm-hmm. it's a group of boys, a group of men sitting down talking about different things. We have a full 32-week curriculum with the different topics that we feel the boys need to address. And we'll bring, you know, each topic up, and then the mentor will start off by, say, talking about drugs. And
anyway, we'll talk more about all of this when we come right back with It's Your Money, Your Life right after this. Hang on.
AM 760 KFMB.
All right, we are back with It's Your Money and Your Life with Craig McLean, Executive Director of Boys to Men, and
Sean Puckett.
Not Scott Puckett.
There is
Sean
no one
Puckett.
Named Scott in the studio, for those of you wondering.
I don't know why I want to call him Scott, but anyway, Sean Puckett, we know him very well. I must be. I'm gonna get my head cold over and get it over with. But anyway, a lot of sad facts that you point out in your brochure here. But and then we'll get into the proof of concept in a little bit. But what are some of the more we talked about the incarcerations and everything else? But what are some of the other startling facts that you'd like to mention?
Well, you know, it's 10 times more likely to do drugs. Mm-hmm. Boys with no dads. That 85% of men in prison grew up without a father. And, mm-hmm. and I know a couple of prison guards, and they said 99.9% grew up without a good dad.
And look at this. Average age of first use of drug is 13. Average age of first use of alcohol is 12. That's pretty...
Well, it just makes sense that, you know, these kids in middle school... In fact, I asked my grandson, who just went to seventh grade, I said, how many of your friends are using pot? And he said, oh, about 30%.
Wow.
About 30%. And I said, well, how many in sixth grade were smoking pot? He said, none. So it's like seventh and eighth grade is when they're making these decisions.
Yeah.
And they make the wrong one, it can last a lifetime.
Yeah. Yeah. So how about grades? Do you have any stats on how grades have improved?
Oh, yeah. We just got our first study done over 4 years of boys and men in school group. And we see that compared to the non-boys to men population, which, by the way, all boys' grades go down in middle school. Mm-hmm. All girls' grades go up.
Right.
Compared to the boys going down, our boys went up 30%. And the lower population, the under 2.5 GPA, went up almost two-thirds of a grade point.
Mm-hmm.
That's only 1 hour a week.
Now, Sean mentioned this study that you have in your hand, Richard.
Yeah, proof of concept. Well, first of all, I should mention both Sean and I are graduates of the University of San Diego. Go Toreros.
That's right.
And Ian Martin and Erica Cameron and Lauren Wolford, about a year ago, this September 2013, did an exploratory case study, and I'm going to ask Sean and Craig to explain it, but it was called Orchestrating a School Counseling and Community Collaboration from Boys to Men. So can one of you gentlemen explain? Because it's a really fascinating study.
Well, Doctor, it's funny. Dr. Martin actually came to us through the 100-Wave Challenge, and when I went to give him his award and picture, I told him what I did. He told me what he did, and he said, hey, I want to do this. So he ended up doing a full-year case study on our middle school program, and, you know, he saw what we saw, that these boys are changed, and he was able to, you know, to put it in a case study, and it's really been a game changer.
Hmm.
We take that to the school and go, here's what we do. And we've had seven schools call us in the last 2 weeks wanting to start the program.
Hmm. So how many counselors like yourself do you have working in the organization right now?
We have over 60 mentors,
mm-hmm.
and we usually have one paid group facilitator, and then mm-hmm. the rest of the mentors are all volunteers.
And over the years, how many young men have you served, do you believe?
Oh, it's about 350 a year, and it's been 18 years, and it's over 6,000 worldwide, because we don't only do it here, but we also do it on four continents.
And, I was going to ask if there are other chapters, there must be some other.
Started a new continent last week in New Zealand.
Isn't that
yeah.
great?
Yeah, because it's so obvious. The whole world is waking up to the fact that you know, boys need men in their lives.
So there's here in New Zealand and any place else that we know?
Yeah, in South Africa, in Canada, in Europe.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So you're going global.
But I imagine that the boys show up to school more often too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because I know for schools, that's an issue, the absenteeism.
It's a big time absenteeism. And they show up for school. And the biggest thing that we see is reduction in discipline issues.
Mm-hmm.
Because we work with them and we get them to understand that talking back to the teacher is not the way to go. And teacher is your boss. That's what we say. Your teacher is your boss. You have mm-hmm. to learn how to deal with bad bosses.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, you're going to pay the price, not the teacher. And they go, oh.
Yeah. It doesn't just stop at school.
Well, plus, I know, you know, the recent economic turndown from a few years ago really affected California schools dramatically in terms of staffing.
Oh, especially in school counselors. There used to be 1,000 kids at this school and 4 school counselors. Now there's one.
Right, which means if any kid's having a problem, there's basically no audience to even listen.
10 minutes.
They just throw them off with all the other bad kids somewhere. And
that's what they do.
Nothing happens. It's positive from that.
Well, they just don't have the money to address right. this lower 25% population.
And class size can be an issue too, right? I mean, with the dwindling budgets or the struggle, the increase in the size of the classes, that might be a negative impact there.
Yeah, and then the teacher has just moments to deal with that one kid, and she just sends him out to the office.
Huh. Well, it's great that you're making a difference and that so you're growing.
Do you plan to continue growing or adding continents, or what's your vision? What Boys to Men will look like, say, in 5 years?
Well, the vision is right now we're focusing on San Diego. We want to be in every middle school in San Diego, get to those 49,000 boys, and then we're going to take this model, and we're just now starting to spread this model. It's in Hawaii, it's in Washington, D.C., it's in Texas, and we're going to start spreading that too. But we need a little more money to do that. So,
is any governmental help out there for you guys? Or you know,
they're just starting to wake up to this. So Obama, who grew up without a dad himself, took him, 6 years to do something, but now they're doing My Brother's Keeper, which focuses on boys of color. Mm-hmm. And by the way, that's about 60% of our program.
Mm-hmm.
The fatherless rate in African American boys is 66%.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate, that's sad.
So is the university going to do a continuing study? Or
They are. Dr. Martin just saw this new data, and he wants to do a continuing study.
It seems like you could really create like a history of results if every one or two years they came back and updated and continued to monitor.
Yeah, it's a slam dunk. I mean, everybody understands it, but now we have the grade data and the discipline data and the praise from the principals and the counselors, too, is on the website, too.
All the testimonials.
Yeah.
It's important stuff.
Yeah.
Because obviously it works. So,
so how often do you guys do a 100-wave challenge? Like once a month, once a year? I mean, how often can you possibly do that, John? You're in decent shape. At least you look like it.
They do it once a year. So we just had the 5th annual, and so next year will be the 6th annual in September 2015.
Did you like drop some pounds, do some push-ups? What did you do to surf that many waves?
Well, you just stay in the ocean, train.
Okay.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we are out of time, gentlemen. We've got to wrap it right there.
Wow.
So, but Craig, thanks for being our guest.
Sean, thank you.
Sean Puckett.
Scott, I don't know who you are.
Where's Scott? Where is Scott?
Go walk your cat, Richard, and look at everybody. Eric Rubalcaba, thanks for making our sound good, our board engineer. And thanks to Craig Blanke, our con executive, and to Dave Sniff, our programming genius here at KFMB. You have a good week, everybody. All the podcasts are at iymoney.com. We'll see you next time. Good night now.